Columbia University has found the solution to the problem of terrorists taking over the university. They are no longer going to do in-person classes and have basically given in to terrorism in the most, in the clearest way possible. And of course, they have been negotiating with these terrorists, so they gave in to many of their demands. They are basically taking a page out of the policies of the US government and the Israeli government. They are definitely following it properly. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 201 of the war in Israel. James, your first thoughts on what is going on in Colombia?
It is vile and despicable. The rights of students are being trodden upon, as if the right of protesters, now to protest on the behalf of true evil here is what we're talking about. That lack of moral clarity is, of course, underlying all of this. The failure on the part of our intellectual leaders to see the evil here that Hamas represents. But going out there and chanting, "We are Hamas," or "River to the Sea," and junk like that, in the right context, you know, it might even be free speech. But you don't have a right to block the Golden Gate Bridge, which is what they did a few days ago, holding up traffic. You don't have a right to block the Brooklyn Bridge. You do not have a right to stealing somebody else's rights. Your freedom of speech is not involved there. This has nothing to do with protest. This has nothing to do with freedom of speech. This has to do with violating the rights of students, and in particular, zeroing in on Jewish students. Because harassed, a Jewish professor was locked out from even getting into the Columbia campus. She's basically the president. This wicked bitch has, in effect, turned her college over to the defenders of evil. And she has stopped business at her school. She is violating the rights of the students there, her obligation to provide an education to the students there, her obligation to make sure that there's no hate speech going on as these students face threats of violence just trying to get to school. No, she's turned it over to the protesters. She's turned it over to the pro-Hamas people, and she's shut out the rights of all students who are paying a hefty fee, by the way, to get an Ivy League education at Columbia.
Yeah, we'll get a bit more into what an evil person she really is, and we'll hear it from from her directly. We'll hear some of her past views expressed. Just to update on what is actually going, I'm going to read a little bit from the Jerusalem Post report from earlier today. So they say Columbia University students agreed to take down a quote significant number of the dozens of tents set up on the school's main campus as part of a protest on Israel against Israel's incursion into Gaza, the New York school said on Wednesday. After a midnight negotiation deadline passed on Wednesday, Columbia University anti-Israel activists may be set to face an attempt by law enforcement to remove the week-long encampment. I'll go back to that in a second. I just want to read the first line of the next paragraph. The deadline was pushed back to 8 a.m. and has since been extended. You know, that's great when you deal with terrorists, and first of all, you are negotiating with them, by the very fact that you're negotiating, you're saying there might be some legitimacy to what they want or to what they're doing. And then when you say here's a deadline and then you keep extending it, you really say, well, nothing we say actually matters. And as long as you keep using force, and as long as you keep using intimidation tactics.
Yeah, may I just say that this appears to be a not a grassroots movement at all, but an organized movement that's breaking out across U.S. campuses. The tents are the same. These pre-prepared signs are all the same from coast to coast, mind you, on dozens, if not hundreds of U.S. campuses. These pre-printed signs, these tents, these tent encampments that they're making with all of these similar tents. And when you try and figure out who's behind this financially, it is experts have said that it is very difficult to get to who is funding all this. There is no real understanding of where this is coming from, but it's certainly organized. This isn't some kind of grassroots, bubbling up from the spirit of the students or something, although there may be plenty of students who've been brainwashed by their professors. That's absolutely true. But this organized thing is nationwide, and the feds have to get to the bottom of what this is going on, because this is rights violating protests. These are not. We have to get straight. Democrats need to get their heads straight. Republicans need to get their heads straight on what a protest is. A protest, my Republican friends, is not January 6th. A protest is not blocking bridges. A protest is not stopping classes for the rest of the term for students at Columbia. No, those are not protests. Those are rights violations. I would further note that the New York Police Department is violating its obligation to protect the rights of students. It's saying, well, we won't go on to a Columbia campus without the Columbia administration inviting us on. Well, that is just to allow constant rights violations of all the other students, all the Jewish professors, all the pro-Israel professors whose rights are being violated right now on Columbia University campuses. The New York Police Department is failing in its job to protect people's basic rights. Columbia is violating its own rules left and right, and they're calling the violation of other people's rights protest.
It's an interesting, I don't know if it's a misinterpretation, I think that might be generous, of the right to property, because if your right to property does not extend to, the right to violate other people's rights. If you are, have somebody over at your home and you're physically assaulting them, the police can violate your right to your property, and they're not violating your right to your property.
Well, worse, if I have a contract with you to come over to my house so I can teach you, and then someone prevents you from coming to my house, physically preventing that, that is not a peaceful protest. That at all. That is, in effect, a kind of violence against the students. They are being violently threatened. They're being violently threatened. And here the school, because of those violent threats, is shutting down the school. The people whose rights are being violated are the students, particularly the Jewish students and the Jewish professors and the pro-Israel professors who can't even get onto campus because of this right now, much less get the education that they paid a dear price for.
Yeah, right before we went live, I saw some video. It was too late for us to add it to the videos that we're going to show here, but it was some student, from, I think, Arabic descent, teaching people a chant about martyrdom, and then the protesters chant the martyrdom chant. And I think this is it's interesting. So the next line that I didn't read in the from the article says, students have been amassing at the university in response to a possible confrontation with police, according to the protest group People's Forum New York City. The Palestinian youth movement said that students had organized themselves into group formations to prevent law enforcement from entering the encampment. Now, what's interesting to me in that paragraph is that they're referencing students twice, but as part of this negotiation between the terrorists and Columbia University, the terrorists agreed to not have non-students involved. So how many of them are actually, I'm sure many of them are actually students. Don't get me wrong, students are not, necessarily good people. They could be, and they could be siding with terrorists. And it definitely seems like there are many who are not. They're obviously, they do this thing where they cover their face. That could be because they're not students. It could also be because they are students, but they know that anti-Semites over the past few months have had this problem where when they say something in public and somebody might film them, put it online, and their name is attached to it, and it's kind of difficult to get a job, although I hear Hamas is hiring, so they've lost a few of them.
Well, but yeah,
officials recently.
If you're mouthing support for October 7th, which is what all of these protesters, it's a disgusting word, I'm not going to use it. All of these Hamas celebrators are doing. They are celebrating Hamas. They're calling for the destruction of Israel implicitly. And if you can't see that in all of this, and that's the problem. If you can't take a moral side, you can't see what's going on here. The comparisons to the 1930s in Germany, I think, are very, very apt. American universities are starting to look like German universities were in terms of their anti-Semitic protests. But those weren't protests either. When you're clasping hands, all these protesters preventing the police from coming in, or clasping, cheering when the Jewish professor can't come on campus. I mean, my God, this is not free speech, ladies and gentlemen. This is a rights violation. America stands for, yes, peaceful free speech. This ain't peaceful free speech. First of all, it's giving aid and comfort to a terrorist enemy of the United States. Secondly, it's violating the rights of students right here. It's violating the rights of Americans. These people who block bridges should be under arrest for the felony of false imprisoning all of the people on those bridges. The people who are protesting and camping right now and closing down Columbia University should be right now charged with violating the rights. With crimes, with felonies, a whole series of felonies could apply to these people. And the New York Police Department is ignoring that, and letting Columbia negotiate with these monsters. The
So,
only way I was putting it.
why is Manoush Shafiq, the president of Colombia, so sympathetic to terrorists? Well, we're not going to put words in her mouth. We're going to hear it from her own mouth in this clip. Irene, is the clip ready?
Troubling
If it fits.
in is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists, not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
All right. The quality for me was not very good. I don't know if it doesn't look like it was better on YouTube, but I heard it. I hope people heard it. If you didn't hear it, let me know in the chat and we'll play it again. James, did you hear the essence of it? There was a point there that is this is in reference to 9/11, by the way, in case
Yeah,
you
this was a reference to 9/11. I heard her disgusting defense of murder. I heard her disgusting defense of terrorism. And that's all it really is. To say that the economic and political situation that isn't working out for them in the Middle East justifies 9/11 is absolutely despicable. It does not. To say, for example, that the self-created condition in Gaza, mind you, by the Palestinians themselves, is somehow justification for October 7th. But she is justifying 9/11, and you will hear her implicitly, more recently, in effect, more implicitly, but still implicitly, justify October 7th as if these people have a valid moral claim. And here I have to quote from Ayn Rand: "To abstain from condemning tor a torturer is to become an accessory to the torture and the murder of his victims." And that is exactly what Columbia University has officially done, in my view. They've become an accessory to the torture and murder and atrocities on October 7th, as Ayn Rand put it in principle, some 60 years ago. And frankly, she's being supported by the United States State Department right now. The State Department yesterday released its annual report on human rights violating countries. And on those, you can imagine, of course, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Russia, China, North Korea. And guess who gets on the front page along with that? Israel. Israel. As if Israel in any, I went through the bill of particulars there. If what the State Department is saying is correct, the United States is involved in all kinds of human rights violations and are even worse human rights violators than what they're saying Israel is doing right now. So it is a total justification for these thugs and their violent or disruption of other people's rights right now. It is a total justification. It's like green light go to all of these protesters around the world. Israel is a human rights violator, just like Iran, their attacker. And I have to say, when Blinken came out with this, he said, "We're not involved in a double standard with Israel." Oh, but then the human rights person on for the administration comes out and says, "No, we hold Israel to a higher standard. We are holding Israel to a higher standard. So they talk out of both sides of their mouth when it comes to holding Israel to a double standard, which they obviously are. And this kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth, Biden has really gotten excellent at. So when asked the other day, do you oppose the anti-Semitic protests on university campuses? Yes, he admitted he does. But I also don't like those people who don't understand what it was happening in Gaza, what the Palestinians are going through right now. Again, trying to talk out of both sides of his mouth for disgusting pragmatic political reasons. And he's getting cover from the State Department report attacking Israel. It is absolutely despicable. You've got senators right now calling for sanctions on Israel for the supporting the divest movement, and Joe Biden is trying to have it both ways as he's trying to win a political election here. But it is a total betrayal of the good. You cannot fence sit. You cannot worship at the in the cult of moral grayness and not betray the good and support evil. And by the way, cover up his own responsibility for all of this, his failure to recognize that Iran is behind this, his support for Iran for these last 3+ years that has given Iran billions of dollars, his failure to name Iran as the fundamental enemy here, all of his own responsibility. The blood on Mr. Biden's hands for October 7th is precisely what he needs this moral confusion to cover up.
Yeah, and the State Department, I think, typically is kind of worse than the rest of the administration. And in this case, it's not easy. It's not an easy task, and yet they manage it. But yeah, historically, I remember the State Department always being on the side of let's find more common ground with the kind of people who just want to kill you. Which is there is no common ground. I know this is breaking news here. Carla says in the chat, when the U.S. leadership itself show sympathy towards terrorists, the universities follow suit. If there was a strong message from US leadership of no tolerance, things would be different. I'm not sure. I mean, okay, James, yeah, okay, yeah, you go first
Well, I
and
do
we'll see.
believe it would be different. I think that the State Department and Biden's moral compromises on all this, all of Biden's, oh yeah, but they've crossed the line. They've gone too far. Vague. Notice how vague Biden is being. Notice how ridiculous this State Department report is. Yeah, we have to have a clear, first, we have to have a clear moral stance on what's good and what's evil. And America has chucked that in. America is sanctioning evil, Iran and Hamas, right now by sanctioning these protests, by not arresting these thugs who are violating students' rights and people who try to cross bridges' rights. They are, in fact, supporting Hamas, creating this moral confusion, which is the kind of moral confusion they need and rely upon in their moral relativism. All violence is bad, and you can't, well, those poor Palestinian civilians. Without recognizing that, of course, Palestinian civilians are what Hamas wants dead for their own purposes. They're playing right into that. It, truly evil. So, in one sense, I have to strongly agree with you. If we could have moral clarity from the United States government on who the good guys and bad guys here are, and we have never had that from the beginning, frankly, even when Biden was supposedly giving full-throated support, he would have had to have denounced his own pro-Iran policies. But he did not, from the start.
So yeah, I agree to an extent. And Equal to Reality, thank you for the super chat. Equal to Reality asks, should the National Guard be called in? I think the police should do their jobs, and then the National Guard should not be called in. If the police don't
Don't
do
we
their
try the
job,
police? Why
what? What?
don't we just try the police?
Having the police do their job, and but. Yeah, on the one hand, if there was a strong policy from from the government at any level doing what they're supposed to do, then yeah, the situation would be different. But no, this starts from the universities, not from politics. The politicians of today are the students of yesterday, and the students of today, and some of those you see protesting could unfortunately be and it's not that far out into the future. Look at some of the worst people you have in Congress today. They are, ideologically on the same page. And yeah, there aren't many of them as on the same page as these terrorists in Colombia. There are not that many of them, but there are some of them.
There are.
20, 30
Alexandria
years ago, there would not have
Ocasio-Cortez,
been
come on.
one.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called these university things just protests, peaceful protests, mind you, peaceful protests. Now, America has to get its head straight about what a protest is. A protest is not violating someone else's rights. A protest is not blocking traffic, getting in someone's way, preventing students from getting to class, preventing professors from getting onto campus. That is not free speech. That is a violation of other people's rights in a forceful, coercive way. So, whether it's January 6th and the Republicans over there, or whether it's the 2020 violent demonstrations because of George Floyd, or these, can you imagine? There have been some pro-Israeli demonstrations. Can you imagine if any of the pro-Israeli protesters had done anything like this? Blocked bridges, set up tent encampments, went through the streets with torches, through. Now, you knew what happened at NYU, my alma mater. They were throwing stuff at the cops there. The cops had to arrest some of these protesters because it was violent. It was actual violence. And we don't even call that. We call that what? A protest? No, these thugs should be arrested for the felony of assaulting police officers. It's not protest. It's not free speech. And calling in that is totally morally sanctioning evil here. And those who would sanction evil.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, True Voice, for your super chats. Thank you, Kelly, for your super chat. Kelly says National Guard should be called in. Chandler says, have you tried turning it off and on it and on again? You mean Western civilization? I think yes, they are trying to turn it off right now.
Yes.
We will try to turn it back on.
We're trying desperately to turn the knob up on the civilization thing. Unfortunately, it's waning badly these days. And it begins with a failure to understand free speech and the rights of other people, for example. Some of this stuff is violent. When you threaten someone, for example, and the number of threats, I mean, out of the mouth of of people like the president of Colombia, or out of the mouth of the president of the United States, we get the, oh yeah, we hate anti-Semitism, but we also don't want Islamophobia. You know, the hate crimes, even before October 7th, there were many, 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 many times the number, like 60% of all the hate crimes reported in the United States were directed against Jews, were teeny little population percentage of the population, much smaller, say, than the African American percentage of the population. Yet before October 7th, Islamophobia is not the problem, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the term Islamophobia is part of the problem. With failure to identify the ideological roots of the enemy is a major part of the problem. It's not that there's it's equal, you know, plague on both your houses, like we're getting from American leaders. That's wrong. They have to get off the fence, get out of the cult of moral grayness, identify who the enemy is, identify what, you know, who the good guys and bad guys are. But as I say, there's an implicit defense of the bad guys here. If there had been, say, a pro-Israeli demonstration that had done anything like what we've seen over the last couple of days at American universities, you think, how long do you think it would be before the NYPD would shut them down like that?
There's a reason why whenever there's anti-Semitic attacks, you hear these statements. We're against Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. There's a reason why the U.S. Issues a report and accuses Israel and the Palestinians and Iran of violating human rights. And the reason is they know these ideas trickle down and people actually end up with statements like there was a comment on I think it was on a short of you talking about Iran on our channel. And somebody said, well, if Israel can have nuclear weapons, why can't Iran? Which is the kind of thinking that, would if the person is consistent, they would also say, hang on, there's a person walking around freely in the street. Why can't a murderer walk around freely in the street? That is the same, that is identical in terms
Let's
of.
translate it into why shouldn't Hitler have gotten the bomb first? Hey, America was about to get the bomb. Why can't Hitler, who was working on it, by the way? Or what's wrong with Stalin putting the world into a threat of nuclear, destruction over decades? What's wrong with Russia getting the bomb? No, in order to think clearly, folks, you have to identify the good. Moral evaluation is not an option. You have to morally evaluate. And in this case, it's pretty clear. The atrocities on October 7th, well, the entire history of Israel and the civilization that Israel has brought to the region and the wars of aggression that they have had to fight against. And then when you look at the horrors of October 7th, it's not like it should be a difficult moral decision here. That's how polluted, corrupted, and perverse our lack of moral thinking is in the West. We cannot identify the good guys from the bad guys and be able to say it would be a horror of horrors if Iran got a nuclear weapon. It would be a threat to the United States. It would be a threat to Western Europe. It would be not just a threat to Israel. It's insane to think that look at Israel's restraint. They're accused of perpetuating genocide. They have nuclear weapons. If they wanted to use them against Iran the other day in their response, they could have. And they did not. Do you think for 5 seconds that Iran would show that kind of restraint? In fact, do you think that these religious fanatics in Tehran would show the same kind of restraint that the totalitarian thugs in Moscow did for all those decades? No, they perhaps being atheists, they didn't wipe themselves out. These people are hell-bent on being martyrs for their cause. They're religious fanatics. You
Yeah.
have to judge, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and these protests that we're talking about, the enemy within definitely helps the outside enemies like Iran. And we're going to talk more about protests. There's interesting stuff happening in London this weekend, so we'll talk about that, I'm sure. We are also going to talk about the latest Palestinian blood libel against Israel, which is repeated by mainstream media, as it always is, without question. If there's a need in the future, we'll have like a small correction, a couple of lines in page 17. But that is the topic of the reality show, which starts a couple of minutes after we end this show. Thank you, James. Thanks everybody for watching. If you like this video, like it, comment. And we've had some issue with the comments in recent days, but we fix it whenever we find it. So please do comment and of course share. We're gonna start the reality show in a minute. Thanks, and we'll see you there.
Be safe, my friends. Be safe.